Yes.
He's everything to me. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He's the lily of the valley. In him alone I've seen all I need to cleanse and make me fully whole. In sorrow he's my comfort, in trouble he's my stay. He tells me every care on him to roll.
Mrs. Garner, I tell you, when you stand up to sing, you can't go wrong singing about Jesus. Amen. Well, you stick to that, you can't go wrong anywhere along the way. God bless you for being here. We're going to jump right on into the message this morning. Take your Bible, Psalm 103, if you would please. Psalm chapter 103 is where we're going to be. And again, let me say to those of you that are visiting, we want to invite you back Wednesday night, if at all possible. Our pastor will be back in the pulpit on Wednesday. So we want to invite you back. Psalm 103, once you find your place, let's stand together. Psalm 103, verse number 11. Now I could have picked any verse just about in the Bible to preach on what I'm going to preach on this morning, but I just chose Psalm 103 and verse number 11 as kind of the verse that we're going to launch out from this morning. If you'll find your place there, follow along as I read. The Bible says, "For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him." I want you to circle one little two-letter word that I'm going to home in the entire message this morning. It's the word "so." You know, as I was meditating, reading the word this week, I was thinking about this little word "so." And you know, a lot of times those little words that we think are so insignificant, the Holy Spirit of God, it puts in the Scripture in the right place, at the right spot, to emphasize what He wants to emphasize in the Scripture. Can you imagine if we took out all the little words "so" out of the Bible in some of the areas, we wouldn't get the true meaning of exactly what God wants us to have. You see, that little word so seems so insignificant, but those of you that, and I know these kids are excited because school starts in about 3 weeks and they're going to get back in English, and you're going to learn about the little word so, the little adverb so, which modifies verbs, adjectives, and adverbs. Am I right on that, English teachers? Okay. It modifies verbs, adverbs, and adjectives. Now, the thing about it is what it does is when the little word so is put before these, it describes to what degree or to what quantity or to what extent they're talking about when they give you the word. For instance, and I'll let you be seated in just a second. Here we are, we just came through a week of over 100 and some odd degrees. Now, can I say something to you? I can say that in Arlington, Texas this past week, it was hot. But when I tell you it was so hot that it'd melt the face, it'd melt your face and the skin off your face, you understand what I'm talking about. It wasn't just your normal time of year and temperature. It was, to an extent, hot, you see. Now, I want to talk to you about this morning. I just simply entitled our message, Our God. I want to talk to you about our God is so. Our God is to an extent, to a quantity, to a great degree beyond what you can imagine. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Father, we thank you for the privilege of the Word of God. Where would we be today if we had no Bible? Where would we be today if we had no church to attend? And Lord, we would be so lost without God and so just groping about on this in the world trying to find truth. But yet out of your goodness and grace, you gave us your Word and you give us a place to attend church. And we certainly want to thank you for that. Thank you for every visitor here today. Would you bless us and teach us from the Bible, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. How many of you parents of children, and your children are playing around the house, and you know, something that comes along with children that you didn't realize at the beginning is children make noise. That comes with the package, you see. And you're around the house and you know, you can say, you kids are loud. That's one thing. But if you say, you are so loud, you're raising the roof off of this house. There's another meaning there, see. That means you are beyond excess loud. Many of you have been away from your loved ones before, to some extent. And listen, when you meet them at the airport or you go to their home and everybody jumps out of the car and everybody runs out of the house, you don't hug each other and say, man, I missed you much. Boy, I missed you much. Now, you know what you say? I missed you to an extent, to a quantity more than you can imagine. I missed you so much. I missed you to a degree that you can't even fathom. And I'm here to tell you this morning, dear friend, that we serve a God that is to such a great extent and to such a great quantity and degree that you can't even fathom it. You can't even fathom it. Now, I want to point out several things about our God this morning. I don't have but just a few moments. We could sit here all day and talk about our God and the wonders of our God. But I want to point out three things quickly this morning to you about what our God is. Would you take your Bible and find your place in Psalm 77? Turn back to Psalm chapter 77, if you would, please. Psalm 77 and verse number 13. Psalm 77 and verse number 13. Listen to what it says. The psalmist says, Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Now listen to this next statement. Who, tell me, who is so great a God as our God? He said, somebody tell me to what extent, to what degree, to what quantity is there a God greater than our God? I'm here to tell you this morning, dear friend, that our God is so great. He is so great beyond what you can comprehend. Let me tell you how great He is. That on the morning of creation, He stepped out on nothing. When there was no space, when there was no time, and created space, and created time, and created the earth, and put into that space. And out of His grace, He created all the creeping things on the earth. He created water and land and atmosphere and oxygen for you and I to breathe. And out of all of that, His greatest creation, one day, He picked up a handful of dirt. And there, out of His omnipotence, He formed that dirt into the shape of a man. And the Bible said He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. Our God is so great that He can create man out of dirt. He can create something out of nothing. That's how great our God is. But wait a minute. He's not just on the day of creation did He show His greatness. But may I say to you, He's also so great that His presence is everywhere. His presence is everywhere. Take your Bible now, if you would, and turn to Psalm 139. Psalm 139. All right, Psalm chapter 139. The psalmist says in verse number 1, O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Can I say something to you this morning, dear friend, that our God is so great that His presence is everywhere and He knows your every thought. He knows everything that you're thinking right now simultaneously and is able to comprehend it and understand it. That's how great our God is. But wait a minute, He's not just great. He's so great to the extent that not just only does He know our every thought, there's no place to hide from Him. Let's continue reading in verse number 7. Whither shall I go, the psalmist says, from Thy Spirit, or whither shall I flee from Thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, what does it say? Thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, Thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall Thy hand lead me, and Thy right hand shall hold me. I'm here to tell you this morning that, listen, not only is our God present everywhere, He knows our every thought. There's no place for me to hide from Him, and He sees my every move. Proverbs 15 says the eyes of the Lord are beholding man, the earth. He's beholding us, and He's beholding the good and the evil. That means there's nothing I can do that God's not aware of. Listen, I'm telling you, my friend, He's not just great. He's so great. So great, He can create something from nothing. His presence is everywhere. He knows my every thought. He knows my every move. And I'm not going to run from Him and hide nowhere. You know why? Because He's so great. He's beyond the extent that I can imagine. He's beyond the degree that I can understand of the quantity. He's so great. Many of these kids run around here with Superman shirts on. Spider-Man. All these superheroes. These kids run around with these professional athlete shirts on and they think, boy, these people are so great. No, they're not. They may be great in one field, but they're not so great. There's only one so great, and that's our God, who is able to create something from nothing, and His presence is everywhere. Oh, by the way, can I throw this in? Our God is so great that He's undefeated. Did you know since the beginning of God's creation, He has been challenged? Do you know from the beginning when He created the angels that He was challenged by one named Lucifer? He was challenged to His power. He was challenged to His throne. And may I say, we find in Scripture that Lucifer challenged the Lord God, and God just cast him out of heaven. You know why? Because He's so great. He's so great. He's undefeated. He was challenged by the strongest of all the angelic beings, and that angelic being was cast out of heaven like a piece of garbage. Let me bring you up to date just a little bit further in time. Remember, Israel came captive to Egypt. Can I say to you that the greatest man on earth at that time was the Pharaoh of Egypt? And he challenged the greatness of God. And God just said, I'll show you what I can do and how great I am. Here, you want Israel? Let me split this Red Sea for you. Go get them. It's wide open. And you know what Pharaoh did? He bid on that. And down into that Red Sea they went, pursuing Israel. God said, get them. If you want it, go get them. And he did. And he waited till they got down into that Red Sea where they couldn't get back either way. And all he did was just... And that Red Sea closed upon them and the entire Egyptian army died. You know why? Because he's so great. He's so great. Pharaoh challenged him. Let me take you on up a little bit further in time. Remember the kingdom of Babylon? Remember Nebuchadnezzar walking out and said, look at my kingdom. Look at what I've done. How great I am. And God said, well, you may be great, but I'm so great. And you'll not try to usurp glory over me, my friend. And God cast him out in the field for 7 years. He lived like a vagabond animal. You know why? Because he's so great. And anybody that tries to raise their head up against our great God is going to find the same thing. He was challenged by Lucifer. He won. He was challenged by Pharaoh. He won. He was challenged by Nebuchadnezzar. He won. But probably one of the greatest challenges of all came one day as the Lord Jesus Christ hung on a cross, crucified for you and me. And as the Bible says, he gave up the ghost. And they took his body down from the cross and laid it in a tomb. Can I say something to you, my friend? For 3 days and three nights, death challenged him. It challenged him for 3 days and for three nights. And I'm sure there were some that said, oh boy, he was undefeated until right now. Boy, he was undefeated, but death got him. Death got him. It's all over. Everybody scatters. Everybody goes back to their place of business and said, well, it was fun while it lasted. It was a great time. But may I call your attention to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 for a moment, please? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if you'll turn there quickly. In 1 Corinthians 15, listen to what it says in verse number 55. Listen to what it says. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? He says, the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which is undefeated, which has not yet lost a battle, which is not let lost to any human being. And today he wasn't going to lose to death. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I'm here to tell you that he's so great he can create something from nothing. He's so great that his presence is everywhere. And he's so great he's undefeated. Not even death could hold him down. And I'm here to tell you today that I'm describing my God, our God. He's not just some casual religious figure, head that we serve. Can I say to you this morning, he's so great. Exceedingly, abundantly above what you can imagine. He's so great. But it doesn't stop there. Take your Bible, go to John 3. John chapter 3. Let's take this thing just a little further. Not only is our God so great, but may I say in John chapter 3, would you notice in verse number 16, the first statement? For God... For God, who is exceedingly great, who can create something from nothing, whose presence is everywhere and knows my every thought, who's undefeated, this same so great God also so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Did you notice there that our God is not only so great, he's so loved. And one of the greatest signs of love is that He gave. He gave. This shows the passion of God. You say, Brother Todd, why did He give? Because you and I were helpless. If He hadn't have given, we would have been lost without God in this world forever. But He so loved. You see, that's the reason you can't comprehend the love of God. That's the reason, husbands and wives, you can't properly love your spouse unless you understand how to love God. Because you don't even know what love is outside of God. The Bible's very plain in 1 John 4. God is love. It's what He is. I'm here to tell you that not only is He so great, He's so loved to the greatest extent. Why? Because I was helpless. And because you know what He wanted for me? He wanted everlasting life. Let me show you something. You don't have to turn there. Psalm 103. Let me turn there for just a second and show you this. Psalm chapter 103 and verse number 11. This is wonderful. Folks, listen to this. Psalm 103 and verse number 11. The Bible says, "For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him." That was our text verse. Listen to verse number 12. "As far as the east is from the west." Now wait a minute, He didn't just put them far. The Bible says, so far. So far, the Bible says, hath He removed our transgressions from us. Then listen, He's so loved, so that when Jesus Christ died for your sins, He took them and put them so far as the east is from the west. You know what? We serve a so great God. Because He's so great, He's so loved that He gave His only begotten Son who forgave us of our sins and put them so far away. You see, because we're helpless. Because He wants to have eternal life. And may I say to you, according to 1 John 4:10, there was no other way. There was no other way for it to be done. Take your Bible, 1 John chapter 4, verse 10. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 10. All right, 1 John 4:10, if you found your place, follow with me. The Bible says, "Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation, the substitute for our sins." God so loved that He gave because we're helpless without God. What am I going to do to purchase eternal life? What possession do I have? I don't have anything. Because you want us to have eternal life. And I'm here to tell you, there was no other way. You see, we serve our God who's so great. So loved that He gave. But let me carry you one further. Take your Bible, Romans chapter 5, if you would please. Romans chapter 5. Our God so loved that He gave. He's so loved, listen to me, in spite of what we would do to Him. As you're turning there, parents, can I ask you something? Would you give your child to die to save someone who did not care about you or return your love? Would you do that? I doubt it. I doubt it. Would we act as Jesus did if we knew how bad that we would be treated? Can I say something to you? The Bible says, but God commendeth His love toward us. Now this is key. Now listen, in that little phrase, in that, means while you were mistreating Him, while you didn't care about Him, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, regardless of our attitude. Regardless of our disobedience to His word. Regardless of how we treat His possessions and how He knew we were going to treat His church, His Bible, and other Christians. Listen, the Bible tells us in 1 John 4, if God loved us, we ought to love one another. Is that what He says? And yet He was still willing to so love in spite of what we would do to Him. I'm here to tell you today, do you think a daddy or a mama? Do you think for one minute that a daddy or a mama is going to stop loving their child just because they mess up or don't follow their guidance? You know how many times I've been in court or at jail or someplace when I've seen a mama and a daddy sob with their son or daughter as they took them from their grasp to send them to prison? You think just because that happened, mom and daddy said, okay, I just want to let you know, son, that from this time forward, I don't love you anymore. That's stupid. It never stops. You know what those parents were displaying? So love. To the extent, regardless of son, what you've done, regardless of daughter, what you've done, I so love you. I'm just here to tell you this morning, our God so loved that He gave. He so loved in spite of what we would do to Him. And may I say, He so loved, our God so loves that He provides. He provides. And listen, here's what we're thinking this morning. Oh yes, boy, go look at my car. Boy, has He ever provided. Go look at my house or my possession. We're not talking about that. Now you listen to me and you listen to me well this morning. Our God provides a way for us to be restored in fellowship when we mess up. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and He is just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's a great God. That's a so great God. That's a God that so loves that He's willing that when you and I mess up, He's willing to provide a way for you and I to be restored in fellowship. If you're here this morning, you think the next time you sin, you lose your salvation. Let me tell you something, my friend. You can't lose sonship. Once you become a son, you're a son forever. You can't lose sonship. You say, well then, why do I feel like I feel? You didn't lose sonship, my friend. You lost fellowship with God. And that sin separated you from the fellowship of God. But yet He provides a way for you and I to be restored. Hey, listen, I'm just telling you, this week I began to just meditate on that one little word. He's so great. He so loved that He provided a way for us to be restored in fellowship. May I say also, He provides for us a way to communicate with Him. According to Hebrews 4:16, I can come boldly before the throne of grace. Hey, He provides a way for us to communicate with Him and for Him to communicate with us. There it is right there. He's going to communicate through His Word. He's not going to write it on the wall. He's not going to send you a telegram through the mail. He's giving it to you in His Word. He'll communicate to you through the Word. You communicate to Him through prayer. He provides that for us. Listen, what kind of God would we serve if He saved us and said, listen, I don't want to see your face again or talk to you again. I don't want to hear anything from you again. Well, we'd be in a mess, wouldn't we? You see, He provides a way not only for fellowship to be restored when we sin and mess up, but a way to communicate with Him. Hey, may I say also, turn your Bible to Matthew 5, if you would quickly. Matthew 5. Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 16. Not only does He provide a way for fellowship to be restored, not only does He provide a way for us to communicate with Him and Him with us, but He also provides for us a way to earn reward. Hey, He wants us when we get to heaven, He wants us to have something. He provides a way for us to earn reward. Look in chapter 5 and verse number 16. He says now, believer, let your light shine. Is that what your Bible says? My Bible says, let your light so shine. He said, you're not to take that thing and put it under a bushel. You're not to hide the gospel of the truth of Christ. He says, because I'm so great, and I so loved, the least you can do so shine. He said, let your light so shine. Before who? Men. That they may see your good works. Oh, look, and here's the point here's the whole point of everything. And glorify your Father which is in heaven. See, He provides for us a way to earn reward. You say, how is it?
How is it, preacher? I want to earn reward. So shine. So shine. So that men can see your good works and glorify our Father, which is in heaven. Well, let me move to the last thing. Turn to, in your Bible, if you would, to Acts 1. I've told you this morning that our God is so great. He's to a great extent. So great that you can't even fathom His greatness. He can create something from nothing. He's undefeated. I've told you this morning that our God so loved that He gave. He so loved in spite of what we would do to Him. And He so loved that He provides. He provides for us a way to be restored in fellowship. He provides a way for us to communicate. He provides for us a way to earn reward. He so loved. And may I say to you now in Acts chapter 1, if you'll follow there with me in verse number 11. Which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall not just come, He will so come in like manner as ye have seen Him go into heaven. All of us are guilty from time to time of saying, oh, I just want Jesus to come. Yeah, He's going to come, but He's going to so come. And the next time He's coming, my dear friend, there's not going to be a crown of thorns on that head. There's not going to be a cross on that back. There's not going to be a jeering crowd and spitting in His face and slapping His face. The next time He comes, my dear friend, it's going to be to call out every born again believer out of this earth. The angels told the disciples, said, listen, my dear friend, just as majestic as it is to see Him rise into heaven on that cloud, let me give you some good news. The next time He comes, He's going to so come. It's going to exceed anything and everything you can imagine. The Bible said that so come is going to catch the world totally off guard. Everybody's going to wonder what happened. They're going to be busting the windows out of the church trying to get in. They're going to be knocking the church doors down trying to get in, trying to find the pastor and staff and whoever else they knew of that went to church here. I'm just here to tell you that the next time He comes, He will so come. He'll call out believers. The Bible says, according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, that when the trump sounds, the dead in Christ shall rise first. And those of us that remain will meet Him in the air. You see, the first stage of that so come, He's not coming to earth. He's coming to call out every born again believer. Just as those disciples were in awe of His ascension, I'm here to tell you this morning, it's going to be just as awesome when He so comes. After a 7-year period, my friend, that so come is going to be concluded. But after a 7-year period, the Bible says that Jesus and us will appear before the earth on white horses, and the world will come against Him to defeat Him, and the Bible said He will destroy them with the word of His mouth. According to Zechariah chapter 14, He's going to set His foot right on the Mount of Olives where He so went up. The Bible said it's going to be such an incredible event that the mountain will split in two and open a pathway down to that eastern gate, by the way, which is bricked and shut right now. Somebody heard about this, didn't they? And He's going to walk in to Jerusalem that day. And He's going to set up a monarch. Not going to be a vote. There's not going to be a vote on who gets to be king. There'll be no Congress or Senate or United Nations or politicians. When He steps into Jerusalem, He's going to sit down on that throne and He's going to rule and reign for 1,000 years. No king's ever ruled 1,000 years on the earth, but he will. He'll exceed every king that's ever ruled on the earth. I'm here to tell you that not only is he so great, so loved, he will so come. He's going to so come. Call out every believer. He's going to so come and set up his kingdom on this earth. But he's also going to so come and fulfill every promise in Scripture. Can I say something to you, believer, this morning? Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will so come. I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I'm just here to tell you this morning that he's not only so great, not only is our God so love, but he's going to so come. He's going to so come, and he's going to fulfill all of the promises. Now listen to me, and I'm finished. You can say, preacher, oh boy, we serve so great a God. Oh, preacher, he's so loved, and I'm so thankful that he's so loved. And oh, I understand he's going to so come one day. But can I say the sad thing this morning is a lot of us in this room know he's so great. Know he so loves. And know he will so come. But most of us will leave this auditorium this morning, go to our homes and say, so what? So what? So what if he split the Red Sea? What is that big deal? I wasn't there. I didn't see it. So what that he so loves that he gave his only begotten son? So what that he provides? So what that he's going to so come? We'll leave today with a so what attitude. And that's the reason, my dear friend, that when he does so come, you're going to be so surprised. Because we come to church and we go home. And we come to church and we go home. And we hear great messages, we hear great Sunday school lessons, and we go home and say, so what? So what? I'm saved. So what? I want to live like I want to live. So what? There's coming a day of judgment, my dear friend. And all this is going to come into accountability. You know, there's only two reasons somebody would have that attitude of so what. Either you're here this morning, you're lost without Christ, or you're away from God, entangled again with the cares of this world, saved but selfish. Saved but selfish. That's the only two reasons someone would have a so what attitude. Maybe you're here this morning and you've been saved. And somebody from this church has taken their Bible and tried to explain to you the next steps that you need to take, and that first step is to be baptized. And maybe after they left, you said, so what? I don't have to do that. So what? The Bible says I need to be baptized. And then maybe you've been saved and baptized, and maybe you haven't been faithful in church. Maybe you haven't learned what it is to walk with God and to be faithful Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, every time the doors open as much as possible. You say, well, so what? So what? He's so great, so loved, and so comes. I'm here to tell you this morning, my dear friend, we serve so great a God. We serve a God that so loves. But I must be honest and tell you, we serve a God that will so come. And if you don't have Christ this morning, if you're not ready, you'll be left behind. And the Bible says you'll be without excuse. And you'll be sent strong delusion by the Antichrist. You see, you've heard the gospel this morning. You've heard the truth this morning. You'll not have another chance. God's given you all the chances you're going to get right here. And I'm here to tell you, don't let him so come without you being ready. Would you bow your heads this morning? Every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around. If you're here under the sound of my voice in this auditorium this morning, you'd say, "Preacher, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I've been